Agudna Rav Shabbos, we read two tremendous parshiyos as we're Messiah Sefer Bamidbar, and they really have an unbelievable lekach that I feel is connecting to, obviously, the Yemei Mitzorim, which is the parsha that we're going through now from the Zman. So, as always, the parshas HaZman and the parshas HaTorah are connected. So I want to bring out one point. Bashkofa Rishon, it's puzzling. Mamish puzzling when we go through the parasha. Both this week's parasha and next week's parasha. Which this year, the Mechuborim, as we find often, Matas Masai Mechuborim. Parasha's Matas begins with the Inyan of Nedorim. But for some unclear reason, the Torah says the parasha of Nedorim presents it in a different way that the other parashas of the Torah are presented. It's almost presented as a manhig parasha, which we have certain parashas that are miyuchad to Kohanim, we have parashas that deal with the Nasi, we have Hilchas Melech, we have the parashas of Melech, what a Melech's mutter, what a Melech is also, the unique halachas of a Melech. You have Hilchas Kohen Gadol. Nedorim is Klal Yisrael. Nedorim has nothing to do with the Nesiim. It's true, there happens to be a side note that you could be Matar Neder by a Chocham or by a Bezen, a Yochad Mumche, but that's like a Zaytik Halacha within the parasha of Nedorim. It doesn't have a specific connection, Dafkara, to domain of the Roshei HaMatas. The whole parasha is Matas. And yet, the Inyan that the parasha is talking about, where it invites the Nesiim, is not even an Inyan that's negeret afka to the Nesiim. El Rosh HaMatis Levnei Yisrael. Chazal already pointed out that there's something unique here. Chol HaKovid LeNesiim. Some kind of Kovid LeNesiim. But why here? What's unique? And again, very loosely, Some explain it's the concept of HaTorah's Nedorim. But even that is not Dafke Roshei HaMatas. Any Bezen could be Matar Neder. Any Gimel Adyetis could be Matar Neder. It's not a Roshei HaMatas Petzim. So it needs clarity. To bring out on another level this difficulty, it's with a fascinating Chazal that talks about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And for some reason, again, Parshas Matas is the parsha that we bring out the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. As you can see in Rashi, in the Chazal, that over here it says, Zeh Adovar Asher Tzivo Hashem. Chazal say Moshe was different than all the other Nevi'im. The other Nevi'im, they had a Nevu'ah, Koyomar Hashem. The Nevu'ah was more, almost secondary, almost with a mechitza, with a barrier, with a koyach sheni. As the Rambam says, it was with a mushal, with a chidah, it wasn't with the clarity. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was unique. The communication between HaKadosh Baruch and Moshe Rabbeinu was direct. And therefore, we use the terminology, Zeh HaDovar Asher Tzivo Hashem. Not koi, not as such, not b'derech dimyon, trying to visualize something which is not mamish clear, but no, Zeh HaDovar Asher Tziva Hashem. Again, the question must be asked, why is Parshas Nedorim used as that parsha to bring out the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, this idea that Moshe's Nevuah is different from all the other Nevi'im is fundamental. It's fundamental to Chumash, to Chamisha Chumashei Torah. It's fundamental. That's what Torah is. Nevuas Moshe. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. We spoke about this also in Parshas Bullock. That's what makes Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah different, is that it's the quality of the Nevuah is different. Even the Nevuah that was given to other Nevi'im, when it was repeated to Moshe, is considered Nevuas Moshe. Because it wasn't like repeating what was said. And when Avraham Avinu was given a Nevuah, and then Moshe Rabbeinu records it in the Torah, it's Nevuas Moshe. And Bilam was unique. We discussed that Vayosem Hashem Dova Befi Bilam. It was a different type of Nevuah. It was the words themselves. And that's why the Gemara Bava Basra, I brought down from Rav Shach, quotes Parshas Bilam almost as its own entity, that Moshe wrote the Parshas Bilam. Because that was unique, Tak. That was verbatim. So Moshe, of course, the concept of Moshe's Nevuah is different than all the other Nevi'im is fundamental. It's basic. We could almost call it an Iker. But it has nothing to do b'Hashkafa Rishana with Parshas Nedarim. And why would we pick this Parsha? Any Parsha in the Torah could have used the phraseology Zeh, and we could have come to the same conclusion, and we could have been Medayek. We could have pointed out the same point that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is different. So clearly, Chazal are telling us something unique here. What is that? What is unique in Parshas Nedarim? In general, we see that Nedarim, which again is just a very specific halacha, which is not even one that's part of our lifeline. Because Be'etzem, other than Nidrei Hekdesh, Nedarim are something that we really stay away from. Right? We're supposed to stay away from it. And yet, we go into the Yomim Negoyim, and we can't go Talad Amas without talking about our Nedarim. Big Matur Nedarim, we come to Kol Nidre, Mishokol, Umevein, Tumeklok, and with the Gan Samaisen, Kol Nidre. What's it Kol Nidre? Such an emphasis. So I want to try today to give a little clarity in that Nekuda, and why it's connected to the Rosh Hamatas. What's the connection to Moshe Rabbeinu? What is in essence going on here? The next parsha that we read, the Parshas Masai, also has a lot of interesting mamore chazal and concepts that we find in the Rishonim that bring out a chashivas to what we don't really understand what it is. What is the chashivas? What are we trying to bring out over here? In other words, let's start just from the first words in the parsha. Talks about the Masei Bnei Yisrael Asher Yotzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's very basic. You would think this is something secretarial. To record the travelings of the Bnei Yisrael, the many travelings, Mimokom L'mokom, and it's a recording those events that took place during those travelings. That's it. Most of the travelings are mamish brought down b'shtike without an elaborate or even a minor explanation of what went on. Some of them, it's still mentioned like a word or two to give you a little idea something happened over there in that masa. It seems very secretarial and very basic. But the Torah introduces Parshas Masai, B'yad Moshe V'Aaron. This secretarial job, which we would say should be done on a very basic level, that was given over Yad Moshe V'Aaron, the holiest of the holy, the miyuchadim shebe miyuchadim of Klal Yisrael, the ones that are recording this, that it's under there, Yad Moshe V'Aaron. What does this mean? Clearly he's trying to bring something out. Again, this is not my question. It's asked by many. Then we look at the actual structure of a Sefer Torah. There's a discussion how many lines should be on a page of each Sefer Torah, each omen of a Sefer Torah, how many lines. And fascinating it is that we find in the G'dele HaPoyskim, Noisei Kelim of the Shulchan Aruch, that there was a Messiah, that the lines of the amount of lines in the column of the Sefer Torah should coincide with the Masei Bnei Yisrael. It's very strange. Why would such an insignificant number, you would think, it's so insignificant, right? We were decreed to be in the Midbar for 40 years, and simply we learned, you know, we were draining Arum. Remember when I spoke about this over 30 years ago, so I was talking then to a group of, when we started the yeshiva, before the Masifta, it was 35 years ago, it was older Bachram, you know, we had a koilo with some older Bachram, and they were Isaac and Shidduchim. I said, this is like you come to a date early and you drive around the neighborhood. you drive around the neighborhood. You can't come late and you can't come too early. So you drive around the neighborhood. You're stuck with the 8 o'clock date and you got there 7 o'clock. So you run over for coffee. You go drive around the neighborhood. You look at local base medalists. You drive around. Simply, we learn without any depth that the masois that we did were an outcome of us having to stay by Midbar Hazeh Yiplu Pegreichem. We got a decree after the Chet HaMeraglim that was stuck in the Midbar for 40 years. Mecharum gedreit. So we were stuck there and we dreid arum. Why are those masois so significant that it's Biyad Moshe V'Aaron? We're going to take the number of masois that they had and we're going to try to structure the Sefer Torah to have some kind of zecher to those masois. And then, as many Achronim point out, and Rav Sternberg, Zola Gesund sein, Rav Moshe Sternberg in the Sefer, Al HaTorah, talks about this as well. There's an emphasis also by the Masois that it's Asher Yotzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. In other words, instead of making the point that I just said, which is that we were just draining our room in the desert, we weren't. I was leaving Mitzrayim, we would have left and gone right into Eretz Yisrael. We weren't traveling around away from Mitzrayim. We were traveling around because we were stuck 40 years in the Midbar, by Midbar Hazeh. So we read our room. But no. The Torah almost calls it like we were traveling from a destination, which by definition means going to a destination. So why are we calling our kofes a yitzia and a bia? What's going on? These are all nekudas. Lastly, I would like to discuss just briefly, the Inyan of the Ori Miklot. The Inyan of the Ori Miklot, which is also in this week's parasha. The Ori Miklot also are one of those things that are toifes, a tremendous chashivas in the madur of hashkofa for Klal Yisrael. Not only is it, I mean, the Sefer HaChinuch, as is known, he calls them, we really need Ori Miklot. The Sheish Mitzvah Tamidius that we have is like our Ori Miklot. He says it's Mechumas in that. Right? But the Ori Miklot is very unique in a sense that when you just read it simply, it sounds like it's a prison with security. Security that the Ritzach stays there, security that the Goyal Adam doesn't kill the Ritzach. It's not exactly, you would think it's not a very decorated event, separating the Ori Miklot. But yet, Oz Yavdul Moshe, we're going to learn about it later on in the Torah, that Moshe separated these Ori Miklot with tremendous joy. And even though he wasn't able to complete it, Chazal tell us, Moshe Rabbeinu, because the last three in Eretz Yisrael were only able to be separated when they got there. And those three actually were Ma'akev, the three in the Eva Yarden from being koilet, from being effective. So the Ori Miklot and the Eva Yarden, in essence, were dormant and inactive, right? And non-productive, right? Until the three in the Eretz Yisrael were separated. So in Chazal bring out that yet Moshe Rabbeinu, this was his mitzvah baliyode, this was his joy to do this mitzvah, and he did it with simcha. And like, what's the Indian here? You would think this is something, you know, it's one of those things you don't want to do. I always tell the Talmidim, the famous Rabbi Yankov, right? The Rabbi Yankov told the Satmar Rebbe, when the Satmar Rebbe asked him, how could you hold as a mitzvah to vote in the Israeli government? You can imagine, the Satmar Rebbe. So Rabbi Yankov and Satmar Rebbe were like brothers. But their sheet about Eretz Yisrael, obviously, was very different. So the story is told that shortly after it became a foursome, that Rabbi Yankov spoke about the importance to vote with Agudas Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. The Satmar Rebbe passed Rabbi Yankov, they both lived in Williamsburg, and he passed him in the street. He said, is it true what they say about the Rosh Hashiva? That you, Rabbi Yankov, hold? There's a mitzvah to vote. What's a mitzvah saseh like eating matzah? It's a mitzvah saseh. And Rabbi Yankov looked at him and he said, Sinita zevi de mitzvah fun achilas matzah, sazevi de mitzvah fun achilas mor. It's such a Rabbi Yankov idea. It's a mitzvah that we have to do. We're not doing it with joy, Rabbi Yaakov was basically saying this is not a government that's running al pi ha-Torah the way we want it to run. But whatever they felt that they should participate in order to be able to be mechazik the das Yehudis. And therefore we have to do it. So you would think that separating the Ori Miklut Volt Kiven, like Rabbi Yaakov says, the mitzvah for Achilas Mocha. Not Oz Yavdul. Not with joy. There's nothing joyous about it. And there's nothing that should be so enthusiastic that Moshe Rabbeinu should grab. Chazal stressed that Moshe did it even though he wasn't able to complete it. And I get that. That's a lesson. That's a lekach that I do get. I do understand that. Right? That even though you can't do what you can do, that's the lesson. That is a lesson. But the Oz Yavdil, the unbelievable chashivas that's given to it, the unbelievable arichus that we have in Sefer Yeshua, Yeshua ben Nun, followed suit with Moshe Rabbeinu's the mitzvah that was brought down in Teres Moshe. Almost verbatimly, it's from the few psukim in Yeshua that you have that are almost verbatim to what's going on here in the Torah. The chashivas of the Ori Miklut. And then we could go on and on with the sugyas hashas, the mishnayos, the misachas makas, how chosh of the Ori Miklut is. The Ori Miklut, the person never leaves there, and the whole nation needs him, like Yoav ben Tzruya, he's a decorated general that Klai Yisrael need. You don't take him out of the Ori Miklut. The Ori Miklut. What's the Ori Miklut? What's going on here? What's so special? Now, basically, I think there's one point. And the Mamish connects to these days, to our avoda, really, to what we have to work on in these 3 weeks. The Beis Halevi has a famous concept, which he discusses several places. But amongst them, he talks about the Pasuk in Parshas Noach. He talks about the fact that the Yiddish Kinder, the Klal Yisrael, have a different standard. And he goes all the way back to Parshas Noach. And he discusses the concept of Hashchasa, of how when someone does a chet, it's not the action itself that is so devastating. It is obviously devastating, but it's not the action itself that's so devastating. It's the endless ramifications, the destruction. And when somebody does something positive, it's not just that mitzvah. It's, in essence, he broadens the concept of mitzvah gereres mitzvah. It doesn't just mean you'll do another mitzvah. You do one mitzvah, you'll do another. It breeds goodness in the Welt. And that's how he jumps into that very difficult sugya in Parshas Noach, where the Torah describes how the animals were decayed. Hishchis kol basar darkei al ha'aretz. Chazal explained that even the behemah chayav ha'oif, only the fish somehow were protected. But everything on the land got destroyed. Destroyed, I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint. There was immorality, however you want to describe that and understand it and imagine it. There was immorality in the jungles. And whatever level of morality you could imagine, that was missing. Animalistic morality also was penetrated by the chet of the Doyer Hamabel. So that's what the Beis Halevi says. And with this, he gives us a whole new understanding in the sugi and chagiga, the difficult sugi, the famous sugi and chagiga tesvav, where the Gemara says, if a tzaddik is zoich and noit el chalkei v'chelik chaveirei began Eden. A tzaddik is zoich, he has his chelik and he has his friend's chelik. Very difficult Gemara. And then the Gemara says that a rosha is mischayev v'noit el chalkei v'chelik chaveirei began. Whatever that means. Sounds like the Rosh that has to carry a load of other people's. He says, what's going on? The Beis Halevi explains that the concept of a person's actions impact the world, change the society. They break through even the barriers of forget humans. They break through the barriers of the jungle, the animals. That's, you'd call it almost like a segula effect, right? There's the Teva and there's the Segula. Because I don't think scientifically we could explain it, but it is. Kachahu. And he therefore says that when the tzaddik is noitel chelek chaver, it doesn't mean he's taking away something from somebody. It means he contributed to that. And therefore he has in his account those mitzvahs, those Gan Eden mitzvahs that he brought into the world, that he impacted. And Rachman al-Islam l'havdil, if somebody doesn't live their life the way they should, and then, you know, they go up to Gehenim and they see Chilke Gehenim, they see real estate there that they never bought, that they never got involved with, but their actions impacted. And therefore it is theirs. By default it's theirs. And they have their partners in that. It's such an amazing yesod to think about in life. Such an amazing yesod. So I always say when I start this parasha based on the ideas of Moron Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that emes, truthfulness, is the foundation of the entire Torah. We have no Torah without chipus achar emes, living a life of truthfulness, truthfully seeking Hashem, truthfully doing chesed, truthfully distancing ourselves from gzela. Emes is everything, and the person's communication is the only outward way of expressing that emes. Of course, within ourselves, everything is emes. It's all connected to emes. Emes how we think, emes how we feel, emes what our objectives are. Emes. There's no end to emes. It's something we have to work on our entire lives. Nobody is 100% emes. We work on that. But it starts with our speech. Chazal therefore telling us that the emes, which is the foundation of Yadus, is not something that can happen in a bubble. It's impacted by the environment. And the leaders of the environment are the biggest onuses on them. And of course, then it's a trickle down on everybody else. And therefore, it's a Rosh HaMatis Livnei Yisraelim. In essence, what the Torah is telling us, you can't create a world of emes without having a Rosh HaMatis that embrace it and create an environment. And then each individual can enhance that and broaden it. But it has to be built on that. Moshe's nevuah of Aspakal Yamir was only able to be there because Moshe was the melech of looking for what Hashem wants, of truthfully thinking Hashem's rotzen, and that's why he was zeicher to that clarity. That's why his nevuah was emes. Moshe emes, v'serosei emes, as the Bnei Korach said when they did tshuva. Moshe's emes and his Torah's emes. He was, in essence, he was zeicher to Torah's emes because he embraced emes. I always thought that this is probably the pshat why the first thing the Torah tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu was that he was a shepherd to Yisrael and he took the tzayin of his shver to the midbar, unlike other shepherds that would let them graze around. No, he was makbid on a bissel gzela on the grass. You know, that's not real gzela. Moshe Rabbeinu spitz. Because in order to be the Ish Emes, in order to be the Moshe Emes, V'Seir Osei Emes, he had to embrace it to its fullest degree. And the Torah introduces him as that Roya Emes, that truthful shepherd. And he was able to be that Raya de Memnuse. He was able to be that Raya. And I think that's why it's brought out here, the Nevuas Moshe, in Parshas Nedola. And when we go into the Yom Nerayim, we're telling Hashem we're going to become truthful people. We're getting rid of whatever nedarim we made. We're getting rid of anything that could have compromised what we said. We're eradicating whatever we said that could put us in that compromised situation of not keeping our word. Because truthfulness is so important. And that's why we go into the Yom Neroyim with this eradication of any possible, you know, falsehoods that could be riding upon us. And Memela, we create an environment of emes, which from that environment, As we said, that's how the parish is beginning. From there, everything grows. From there, everything grows. I think that as we proceed with this idea, we could understand what's going on with the 40 years that we were in the Midbar. It wasn't just killing time, waiting for the 8 o'clock date. The idea was that we, after the Chet HaMeraglim, we retreated. We needed now 40 years of tikkun. This wasn't one draining our room. We created an environment of growth in the Midbar. From what I recall, Rav Sternberg Zatzal says, Zalalem lo'irich yomim vishonim. I always rely on the Marsha, because Marsha says you could say Zeche Tzadik Levroch on a living Tzadik. We don't do that. We're not knowing like that. But Zalalem lo'irich yomim vishonim. From what I recall, he says that Yotzim Eretz Mitzrayim means as they were traveling, they were getting rid of the Mitzri in them. They were leaving Mitzrayim. But based on the concept that I'm telling you, that was the idea of the 40 years, was an idea of creating an element of growth in the Midbar. This was not draining a room. And that's the whole point of Parshas Maaseh. That a Jew has to know that he has to always be in an element of growth, even when he's fablunjit. He's not fablunjit. Wherever he is, it turns into an element. It's a yeshiva, it's a halicha, it's a way of growing. And that's what Parshas Maaseh is all about. And that's why it's not recorded as a secretarial event. It's Biyad Moshe V'Aaron, our leaders. We needed our leaders. Wasn't pshat, we needed episode navigation, a ways to just know, Vuma Gate, where do we go next? Where do we stop? Where do we go next? Where do they sell a coffee? Das Gevan Biyad Moshe V'Aaron. We were growing and growing, just like when we left Mitzrayim. We understood we were growing. That was our tachlis. We were continuing that growth spree. And we made from the Midbar an environment of growth, from which everybody was able to grow from. From Klal Yisrael grew, until we were Zeichet, the Dor Dea created a Am that was able to enter Eretz Yisrael. Memela, the Sefer Torah, is structured with a reminder of those Masois. Because that's how we have to learn Torah. We have to learn Torah in a way that we look at it and we go, we're growing, we're traveling, we're not stagnant. Wherever we are, we have to create in ourselves and in the environment a feeling of growth, a development, halicha. And that's what's symbolic by structuring the Sefer Torah in a way that it memorializes the Masois of the Bnei Yisrael. I think, B'derech Efsha, we could say that that's the idea of the Ori Miklot. The Ori Miklot, the concept of the Ori Miklot was to create an environment with a person who killed B'Shoigig. That's not in a bubble. Somebody who killed somebody else B'Shoigig where there was some kind of neglect when it came to Dinei Nefashos, means that life of a Jew became cheap. And that's how it was able to happen. How was a person able to get killed, B'Shegek? If there was no neglect, then there's no Ori Miklot. The Ori Miklot is needed when there's neglect. That's how the Ori Miklot is introduced. And I brought down from the Maral and Maseches Makis, that's why the countries that had more murder rates had higher rates of B'Shoigig killings. And the Maral asked the question that everybody, all the Achronim asked the Marshon, the Gemara Makis asks, what do you mean? Shoigig is a mistake. How could you have a high Shoigig rate? It doesn't even make sense. It's a mistake. Mishap. And the Maral says that murder breeds also for people in that area to have mishaps, which means the value of life gets diminished, gets impacted. it becomes an environmentally impacted location where there's an insensitivity to life, and therefore a person could be oblivious and somebody could die. It's such an emissary site. And that's what the Ori Miklat is there. It's there for somebody to go to an isolated location where there is no Hesach Hadas. That's where they are. They're closed up. They're in that city. It's a city that reflects constant thoughtfulness. To a certain degree, I once saw B'Shem Kavshach that the Ori Leviim, we know not, besides for the six Ori Miklat, the Ori Leviim, the 42 cities of the Leviim, they also were Ori Miklat. Why? Because the Levi lives in a constant state of Avodas Hashem. They didn't work. They didn't go to Muhammad. They were Kodesh. They were the ones who lived in this elevated state of thoughtfulness. They weren't Mesich Das. Their whole lifestyle wasn't Mesich Das. And that's the reason why the Ori Leviim are Koilet. And for that reason, the Torah stresses that the environment is so important and it's such a contributing factor to the Reitzrim that we can't have a bittel in that environment. And since, based on what we're saying, that's the essence of our Avodas Hashem, that's the reason why Moshe was happy to dedicate a Ori Miklat, which really underscore the importance of the environment, which underscores our entire Avodas Hashem, which is the impact that we have in our environment. It's true. The Ori Miklat is the Shpitz, is the ultimate, is the idealistic environment that doesn't have any cracks. Can't live like that all over. It can't be a global concept. But it could be a global goal of elevating every environment that we're in to at least have a reyach of the Ori Miklat, of the thoughtfulness of the Ori Miklat, and thereby creating an environment where you walk in the street and you feel that. And that's why Moshe was Oz Yavdil Moshe. That was the simcha. That was the joy. When we think about the 3 weeks, that's really in the Siluk Hashchina. Our job in the 3 weeks is to create environments where the Shechina is felt, where our actions welcome the Hashras Hashchina. Where Hashem looks at us and He says, Yisrael Hashem B'choy Espoya. And in that schus of us creating those environments and those feelings and impacting the society at large, we'll talk about Zeche that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam B'shuv Hashem L'tzion Bagino. And we'll be zeichet hakev v'sham noichal min hazvochim u min hapsochim b'mehiru v'yameinu amen kein yiratzon.